Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, proud founder of the website myobmd.org and myobmd.org. We are women's health publishers. Everything you see, read, and hear on myobmd.org are orchestrated by physicians who take care of patients just like you. So, today we are going to be talking about anxiety. What is it? What are the different ways in which anxiety can present? How do you know if you have this? And what are some of the things you can do about it? So, let's take a minute and tackle this very important topic of anxiety. Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. Join me for a bi-weekly discussion on topics most relevant to women's health today. We are your source for medically accurate, real-world advice in all things related to your health and well-being as a woman. From menses to menopause, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, a fully practicing, board-certified OBGYN physician with close to 20 years experience. I am also the founder of the website that is 100% dedicated to women's health, myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we write in all aspects related to women's health. Listen to our podcast, visit our website, subscribe to our newsletter, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, myobmd.org. Welcome back to Straight Talk with MyOBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith. So, let's tackle this subject, this topic of anxiety. What is it? And how do we know when this is a problem? Anxiety is feeling worried or fearful. But we know that feeling worried or fearful can be a normal part of life. So, feeling worried or fearful is sometimes healthy. So if you're in a situation that is dangerous, it's important that you feel that worry and that fear because that is what will motivate you and drive you to take action to remove yourself from that situation. So for instance, if you're out running and you see a dog coming toward you that looks very angry, you're going to be anxious about that, and that anxiety will cause you to take action, whether to run, defend yourself, or hide. And so that is a healthy form of anxiety. Anxiety that becomes more worrisome are anxieties that occur when there is no reasonable reason for you to experience that. So, for instance, let's say you're sitting on your couch watching TV. You're in a safe place. You feel very nervous. You feel very anxious. Almost the same way you would if you were in that danger situation, but you're not. Now, if this occurs repeatedly, that is a sign that you may be experiencing anxiety that is problematic, that is more of a medical condition, and something that needs or would benefit from seeking medical advice on. So we know that anxiety can become problematic when it starts to interfere with your quality of life. So you're having anxiety to the point where you're no longer able to take part in the pleasurable aspects of life, or you're having anxiety to the point where it's interfering with your work or interfering with your relationships. That becomes problematic, and that is a medically treatable condition. So before we get into the different treatment of anxiety, let's take a step back and look at what are the different types of anxiety disorders that there are that you could potentially be experiencing. So just like most other conditions. The spectrum of anxiety disorders is just that. There are different types of anxiety disorders. They are not always treated the same, and some are more problematic than others. So the more common one is what's called generalized anxiety disorder. And that is when you're just having random events, random occurrences rather, of anxiety without any precipitating event. There is no trauma history associated with it. There's no medication history associated with it. It's just something that is occurring random. And that's the more common type of anxiety disorder. Now, you can also have social anxiety disorder. Social anxiety disorder is when you're having anxiety related to a social event. So you may be nervous about an upcoming social event. If this is maybe a public speaking event, then that's normal. Of course, we're all a little nervous talking to a large crowd. But if you're nervous simply going to a small gathering of folks, or if you're nervous around people that you're familiar with, you just feel anxious, then that's more indicative of a medical issue. Some people have panic disorders. Panic disorders are another type of anxiety. And that is where you get a strong sense of panic. Sometimes this may be in large crowds, crowded areas, and you may feel just a lot of stress or anxiety and physically start manifesting symptoms such as sweating, your palms become sweaty, your heart starts racing, and similar symptoms just from that. And so that is more consistent with a panic disorder. A post-traumatic stress disorder is something that happens as a result of a stress that you've experienced. We sometimes hear this occurring more with people that have been in the military. However, this can happen even if you have not been in a war zone. If you had a very traumatic childhood, if you had a traumatic experience, if you had a near-death experience of some type of trauma that you experienced or you almost experienced, if you've escaped an attempted assault, that can still create that post-traumatic stress associated with that event. Acute stress disorder is another type of anxiety, and that's just an anxiety that occurs as a one-time occurrence rather than something that is recurring. Adjustment disorder is where you are experiencing stress from a change that is occurring in life. So for some children or adolescents or young adults, that could be divorce, or if you're having a move from a familiar place to an unfamiliar place, you're experiencing the serious illness of a loved one, someone who you're really close with is going through a health crisis. That is certainly a source of stress and can create anxiety, and that would fall into the category of what we call an adjustment disorder, because you're having a hard time adjusting to what will soon become your new reality. And so that creates a lot of anxiety. And then the other type of illness to be aware of is depression, because sometimes depression symptoms and anxiety symptoms can overlap. And sometimes folks who are experiencing depression may also experience anxiety and vice versa. So those are some of the different ways in which we can or may experience anxiety. And if you feel that this is something that you may be experiencing, the first thing we should do is remove any stigma, right? Because just like any other illness, mental illness, such as anxiety, depression, these are not necessarily within our control. And in large part, they're outside of our control. And so we should remove any stigma or shame or guilt that you may potentially feel around this diagnosis, because it is certainly not warranted. And then that stigma becomes another source of stress and anxiety. So how do we remove the stigma? Let's talk about what causes it and what causes anxiety. And so when we learn more about the causes, we are able to see more that truly it is not a matter of the person. This is not something that you can control, that you can turn on or off. This is something around how your body is built and responding to some life events. The one thing that we always have to look at is genetic. Right? Some folks are just genetically predisposed to experiencing anxiety, depression, or other forms of mental illness. And so if you have a family history of anxiety or major depression, then you may be at risk for experiencing this yourself. And so that is always something to keep in mind, that if you do have a family history of this, then potentially that could be the only reason you're experiencing what you're experiencing. The other is a traumatic experience. If you have had a traumatic experience, especially a traumatic childhood experience, those are very big triggers for anxiety. All different types of anxiety, whether generalized anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder. So having a traumatic experience can certainly be a major risk factor for you experiencing anxiety. A few other causes of anxiety can be our hormone levels, depending on the hormone levels produced by our brain. That can cause some sense of imbalance within the brain mechanics that causes us to experience those feelings of being anxious. And finally, your brain circuitry. How your brain responds to stress. Certainly, that is not something that you can control through diet and exercise. And so that can also contribute to you feeling anxious, even if there may not be a reason to be feeling anxious, or there could be a reason, and that's another issue that would have to be dealt with. We know that the science around anxiety disorder is not 100% known. It is still an evolving field. Not everyone with a genetic predisposition or a traumatic life event will experience anxiety. However, having both a genetic predisposition and having endured a traumatic life event does place you at a much greater risk of developing an anxiety disorder. So, it's not a given that just because you have a family history of anxiety that you will have anxiety. It's not a given that if you've experienced a traumatic life event that you will experience anxiety. However, having both of those certainly places you at a higher risk than average. And that's something to keep in mind. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that you may be experiencing anxiety, and it has nothing to do with what's going on in your brain. It could be stuff that's going on in other parts of your body. This is what I mean by that. If you have, for instance, hyperthyroidism, your thyroid levels are high, your TSH, which is your thyroid stimulating hormone level, is high, that can definitely cause symptoms that mimic anxiety. So your symptoms of being anxious, of having a heart palpitation, sweaty palms, you're sweating for no reason, that could be a thyroid condition. Okay, and so you would not need to be treated for anxiety. You would just need to have your thyroids checked and be treated. There are other hormonal conditions that can cause and mimic anxiety disorder. Sometimes if you have a very low blood sugar or a very high blood sugar, that can mimic symptoms of anxiety as well. So those are some things to keep in mind if you have an abnormal heart rhythm, if you have a cardiac condition called arrhythmia, so your heart just beats irregularly. And if you're sitting down and you feel your heart kind of beating at an irregular pattern, that's going to cause us to be anxious. Who wouldn't be anxious about that? So the having certain cardiac conditions can also place you at risk for that. Certain medications that you're taking. So if you're taking certain medications, if you're having just a lot of caffeine, if you're taking ephedrine, some people take those for weight loss. Depending whether the medication is prescribed or an over-the-counter herb or supplement that you may be using, both of those or any of those can cause symptoms related to anxiety. Now, some street drugs, let's be real. Some street drugs definitely cause anxiety. So the stimulants, so amphetamines, cocaine, methamphetamine, marijuana. A lot of people think marijuana, people that use marijuana is relaxed and don't care about anything. But you can actually have the opposite experience where you actually experience an anxiety. The same with alcohol. A lot of people think, hey, if I drink alcohol, I'm more mellow. I really don't care. I'm fine. I'm happy, in fact. But drinking alcohol can place you at risk for anxiety as well, especially if it's done for a long time. So if you're drinking alcohol and you're doing so daily or excessively, or you're doing marijuana and you're doing so excessively and daily for a long time, that can of course cause those symptoms. So what do you do? What do you do if you're experiencing this and you're not sure what to do? The first thing you do, of course, is you go to your doctor, you make an appointment, you go to your doctor because you do need to be evaluated to find out, is this truly an anxiety disorder? Is this something else? Is it a problem with my hormones? Am I experiencing a side effect of a drug? So that is really the first place to start. And by your doctor, I mean your primary care doctor. So that would be the first place for you to start, is to determine, is this truly an accurate diagnosis for me? Now, once you've been evaluated and your doctor says, hey, I believe you do have this, you're experiencing, and what you're experiencing is an anxiety disorder, at that point, they're going to start recommending different treatment options. The treatment options will fall into one of three categories. One is self-help or lifestyle changes. So that is where you are making changes within what you're maybe eating, drinking, doing. The other treatment option is counseling or psychotherapy, and that is where you're speaking to someone, whether in person or virtually. And the third treatment option is medication. Now, typically, medication, I mentioned that last because that's truly the last treatment option that will be offered. And in fact, I do want to make the point that regardless of the treatment option that is offered, the self-help or lifestyle changes can complement any of the other two. So even if you're doing counseling or psychotherapy, make sure you're also evaluating lifestyle changes that can enhance the treatment that you're receiving. The same if you're doing medications, make sure you are also looking at lifestyle changes that can enhance the effectiveness of the medications that you're already taking. So let's take a minute to talk about some of the lifestyle activities that you can undertake to address anxiety. So if you're experiencing anxiety, there are a few things that you can do to try to help to lift this. And if this doesn't work, you're going to continue to the other things, okay? So exercise is one. All right, so the lifestyle options for anxiety, they will have benefit for you beyond just treating an anxiety disorder. They are part of an overall plan of being healthy and also being well. So exercise is one. So whether you are doing cycling, swimming, running, brisk walking, any of those things, we know that that activity can help to simply boost your spirits as well as increase your level of optimism. So exercise is certainly one. Number two is relaxation and mindfulness. So having just been relaxed and mindful. And this is how I define mindfulness, okay? A lot of times our mind becomes anxious or restless when we do one of two things. We're worried about something that happened in the past. We're worried about something that may happen in the future. Being mindful means that you are allowing your mind to simply stay in the present. No matter what you're doing, you're simply staying in the present. And so if you are focused on that activity that is at hand, rather than you're doing this activity, but you're focusing your mind on somewhere, something else, that can improve your sense of being mindful, which helps to relax us. Now, if you choose to take time to reflect on the past or plan for the future, of course, those are fine, but you are dedicating time for that as opposed to doing something now when your mind is either in the past or in the future. So that is the act of being mindful and relaxation. I have a website that I believe it's the John Hopkins website that I've placed in the anxiety article about progressive muscle relaxation. It's a great video that illustrates how to do this really well. The other behavioral technique is called behavioral activation. So behavioral activation is simply engaging in positive activities. So whatever that positive activity is for you that makes you feel uplifted. So for instance, you may really enjoy gardening. You may really enjoy cycling, walking, dancing, singing. I was going to say maybe cleaning the house. I don't know. Some people may enjoy doing that. Whatever it is that you enjoy doing, make time, commit to making time to engage in that positive activity. And this is the caveat that you have to look out for. A lot of times we say to ourselves, you know, I'm not feeling that great. I'm going to do that. I'm going to garden when I feel better. I'm going to paint when I feel better. I'm going to do whatever it is when I feel better. But that's wrong. I want you to resist that mindset. You want to get up and do the activity that you know you enjoy, even though your mood is telling you otherwise. You need to engage in the positive activity. Do not wait for your mood in order to start doing that. And once you start this activity, do not be hard on yourself, okay? Be your biggest supporter, your biggest cheerleader. Do not be your biggest critic. So if you say you're going to walk 30 minutes and you've only walked 5 minutes, celebrate that. You did it. You did something, right? You didn't do nothing. I know that's not grammatically correct. You did something rather than nothing, okay? So push yourself to start these activities that lift your spirit even when you're still feeling down. Do not wait until you feel better before engaging in positive activities. So the positive activities are exercise, number one. Number two is relaxation and mindfulness. And number three is behavioral activation. Now, the other treatment options, right? The what we've just discussed or the lifestyle changes that you can develop. And like I said, those you can do on their own. If they're all you need to make you feel better, more power to you. That's fabulous. For those of you that need more, that's A-okay. No judgment about that. But for some people, you're going to need to do more. I would encourage everyone to do the lifestyle changes, and those that, and for those that this is not sufficient, then you'll need to move on. You'll need to add counseling or psychotherapy to your regimen, and that can be tremendously beneficial. And if that is not sufficient, you'll need to add medication. And if you add medication, I would encourage you to do all three. I would encourage you to do the lifestyle changes, the counseling, as well as the medication. All three can be beneficial and will enhance the effectiveness of the other. So you'll be getting the maximum therapy, the maximum effectiveness rather, from doing all three of those. Now, whenever we discuss anything, any kind of mental health issue, I just want to always point out, for someone who is feeling suicidal, who feels that they are at the end of their rope, feeling very hopeless, if you have any thoughts about harming yourself, certainly reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's 1-800-273-TALK, where they provide 24/7 support. If you feel like you're in immediate danger of within the U.S., call 911. So, just want to wrap up. Anxiety is a condition that is a complex condition that we don't know fully exactly what causes it. There may be some genetic component to it, as well as some hormonal imbalances that are occurring within our brain. We know that some other medical conditions can mimic anxiety, such as thyroid disorder. We know that this is a treatable condition. This is a treatable condition. The different arms of treatment are lifestyle changes, counseling, and medication. Now, to read up more about anxiety, go to our website at myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we have a complete comprehensive review of this condition. And certainly, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. Send me a shout out. Tell us what works for you when you're experiencing anxiety or levels of being anxious. I appreciate you listening to Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith. Thank you for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. To learn more about this topic, visit our website at myobmd.org. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I can't wait to spend more time with you on our next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD.